Conditional use number 2041, filed by Scott Randall Witzke.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have several items of old business this morning. First one being conditional use number 2041. The application of Scott Randall Witzke. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for retail auto sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, and containing 10 acres more or less. Property located north of Delmar Road, Route 54, 1/2 mile west of Horsey Church Road, being Road 510. The 911 address is 8137 Delmar Road, Delmar. Tax map ID is District 532, map 19, parcel 7. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on December 8th of 2015 and made their recommendation on February 11th of 2016. You as council held your public hearing on April 12th of 2016. The commission's recommendation on this application was motioned by Mr. Ross and his statement that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 2041 for Scott Randall Witzke for a conditional use to allow retail auto sales based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the use is primarily for automobile auctions via the internet. Although there may be some vehicles displayed on the site, most of the sales will be off-site via the internet. To the 10-acre parcel that is the subject of this application is part of a larger 43-acre farm, and there are no immediate neighbors to the proposed area for vehicle display. And the applicant will only occasionally display vehicles for sale on the site. The project, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or the community. But for an occasional display of vehicles for sale, the use would not be evident to anyone on the roadway or adjacent properties. Since the actual sales typically occurs via the internet, it is nearly a home occupation. 5, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. 6, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, no more than 5 vehicles shall be displayed for sale on the site at any one time. And as stated by the applicant, the vehicle shall be displayed only daylight hours. B, the vehicle shall be displayed no closer than 50 feet from the front property line. The display area location shall be shown on the final site plan. C, there shall be no more than 15 vehicles stored on the site for sale at any one time. And D, no auto repair work shall be performed on the vehicles at the site. E, as stated by the applicant, no automotive parts shall be sold from the site. F, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. G, no junked, unregistered, or permanently inoperable vehicles or trailers shall be stored on the site. In addition, no automotive parts shall be stored outside on the site. H, any dumpsters that shall be screened from view of neighbors and roadways, the dumpster location shall be shown on the final site plan. I, any security lighting shall be downward screened and shall be directed away from neighboring properties and roadways. And J, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0.
Pleasure, council.
I have a quick question, Mr. President.
Mr. Barnett?
Could you clarify 6A versus 6C? Because are they not the same thing but have different numbers? Help me to understand those, the differences there.
There's a specific area intended to display vehicles out closer to the public at Delmar Road, and that would be for 5 vehicles. The property is 10 acres, and the area where he typically operates would be back closer to the home place, and that's where there would be no more than 15 vehicles stored on the site. So there would basically be 10 there and 5 out front at the max. Typically, all the vehicles are done sale by internet,
right?
And they go overseas typically.
Right, right. No, I recall that testimony, but I'm trying to understand that last part of that 6A sentence as well. The applicant vehicle shall be displayed only daylight hours. So daylight. He's got to move those five cars off of the road?
That's what it was stated. He would move the vehicles back to the area where the total of 15 would be stored. So basically, at nighttime, there would be 15 stored at the max at one location, back off the road further.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The five display units were the ones that would be displayed for sale within 50 foot of the road.
Okay, and then one last question here. 6F, the 32 square feet per side lighted sign. Is that typical? Of a commercial property, or how did that number come? How did we get to that number?
Recommendation of the commission on sites that are somewhat rural or remote, rather than have a 200 square foot sign, which could be permitted,
right,
and it could be lights.
Okay, just wanted to clarify as far as how that number came about.
And I do have one question as well, Mr. Lank. One of the reasons given by planning and zoning was no parties appeared in opposition. My recollection is there were people in opposition at the county council.
We did receive a letter in opposition from council. This is the commission's record.
So if I read the short title as I normally do with the reasons and conditions, I would drop out number five. So
That would be the reason,
as far as council goes, yes.
That's exactly right.
Anything else from council?
In light of that, could you share with us and remind the council of the concerns of the opposition? Do you remember? At our public hearing. Because my recollection is they had some very good points.
Had it out.
Did you make any notes?
I think I heard he ran off the road, he might hit a car.
We received one correspondence, more specifically. It was from George E. Parrish and Elizabeth A. M. Parrish. And they wrote on April 4th in opposition to the ordinance proposed. It's an agricultural rural area. The people in the area enjoy the rural non-commercial setting. They reference their address and their parcel. There are many single family established home sites close to the property in question. Four of these home sites are new residences. We feel that if one commercial business is allowed, it would only lead to more of the same, the precedent question. There are many auto sales businesses in the area. Agricultural land should not be compromised by commercial use.
Okay. And I think there were some other people in person also that shared similar concerns. In our land use plan, does the land use plan address commercial activity in the ag district as to the fact that maybe through a conditional use, I think if we support something, the application should support agriculture, say agribusiness or agri this or something. In other words, I thought there was something referenced in our land use plan.
Council granted approximately 2,000 conditional uses, the majority of which are in the agriculture residential district.
Right.
2,000?
Over the years.
District.
Over
right.
the years. We're talking about all the way back to 71.
Yeah, 1971. Right. But does the land use plan address it at all, commercial activity in the ag district?
It makes reference to commercial activities and neighborhood business type activities in the agriculture district, and thereby conditional use is basically the same or similar to the neighborhood business type activity, but it's more restrictive. So it's supported somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be more specifically addressed.
Okay.
Anything else from council? Entertain a motion?
Move a motion to accept conditional use.
2041.
Second. Correct. 2041 with the conditions set forth.
Second.
Oh, short.
For all those you read that, I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for retail auto sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Hundred, Sussex County, containing 10.0 acres more or less for reasons 1 through 4 as given by planning and zoning. With conditions 6A through J.
Now then, Mr. Arlette.
Now I would move a motion to accept a condition of use 2041 set forth with the conditions outlined.
Now, second.
Motion, Mr. Arlette, second, Mr. Wilson, to approve condition of use 2041 for the reasons that with the conditions as placed by planning and zoning. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
My vote is no, and it's because of, well, for one thing, I looked at these conditions, and they're very cumbersome. And Planning and Zoning Commission approved it, but it looks like they bent over backwards to try to make it work. And it's a new use in an area, and I believe it, we've heard from one of the folks that testified, that it is a precedent setting, and that for them anyway, because it is a residential area, so I have to vote against it.
Mr. Cole.
I share similar concerns that Mrs. Deaver has. I think that if you're familiar with that stretch of road, you'll notice that it is largely agriculture and some scattered residential. This would set a bad precedent. We've had other things that have attempted to go down there and never did, and I think failed commercial activities. But I question whether it really is in compliance with our land use plan, because I think that I recall there's something in that document that says that, you know, in the agricultural district, that the uses of small business and other things should complement the ag district. And a used car lot in this rural agricultural area, which is, like I said, largely farms and some homes on large lots, is not compatible. And storing 15 cars is not compatible. And there's just nothing about the application I think is appropriate, and I support the opposition, and my vote would be no.
Mr. Arlette.
You know, after a review of the record and the public testimony, of course, you always take everybody in consideration. I think, actually, I travel this road often as I travel back to the western part of the District 5 to Del Mar and Laurel. It is considered a major roadway along Route 54, State Line Road, and there are other commercial businesses along this roadway. As a matter of fact, there actually is an automotive repair business there who actually also, I believe, sells some cars as well a little bit further down the road. So there are other commercial businesses that are along this road. Is this applicant appropriate in all roadways? Perhaps not. I think along a major roadway, perhaps like Route 54, I would say that it is appropriate with the conditions outlined. So I will be supporting this, and I will be voting yes in support of the application as recommended by Planning and Zoning per their recommendations 6A through J.
Mr. Wilson.
My vote is yes. According to PZ, they voted unanimously that it was okay. So I'm going to vote yes.
I also agree with Planning and Zoning's reasons and their conditions placed, although yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
The next application for consideration of old business is the application conditional use number 2042, the application of Beach Fire Brewing Company, LLC. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for a microbrewery to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewiston, Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 5,000 square feet, more or less. Property is located at the southeast corner of Central Avenue and Johnston Street. 911 address is 19841 Central Avenue, Rehoboth Beach. Tax map ID is District 334, map 1320, parcel number 24. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on January 28th of 2016. Rendered their decision on February 11th of 2016. County Council public hearing was held on May 3rd of 2016. You received in your packet last week a copy of the recommendations of the Planning and Zoning Commission on February 11th of 2016. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2042 for Beach Fire Brewing Company, LLC, for a conditional use for a microbrewery based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, this is an application for a microbrewery in a C1 general commercial district. Two, in a C1 general commercial district, taverns, restaurants with alcoholic beverage services, bars, and other commercial uses are permitted by right. This conditional use, except for the fact that the applicant is manufacturing the beer on the premise as a primary use, is similar to permitted uses under the C1 general commercial regulations. Three, the conditional use is limited by the size of the property, the building already situated upon it, and the parking requirements. These factors limit the size and scope of the use of the applicants, and the applicants have stated that they have no intentions of expanding the use. Aside from the brewing operations, the tasting area will be very small with very few seats. Again, this is a smaller public space for the consumption of alcohol than would be permitted within a restaurant under the property's C1 general commercial zone. Five, the brewing operations will not have an adverse effect on the neighboring properties or the community. The applicants have stated that all the brewing operations will occur within the building, and there are not any sounds or smells that will come from the building during those or these operations. Six, the tasting area of the microbrewery will not adversely affect neighboring properties, roadways, or the community. Again, it is small in scope and no different than other uses permitted under the C1 general commercial zone. Seven, this recommendation is, however, subject to the following conditions. A, the applicant must comply with all state and federal requirements for the brewing and tasting room operations. B, there shall not be any outside storage of materials associated with the brewing operation. Any waste or spent materials from the brewing operation shall be stored inside the building until hauled away by appropriate means. C, any dumpster associated with the use shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways. D, the use shall comply with all parking requirements that are contained in the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. And E, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. As stated in my report on behalf of the commission and for you as council, I remind you that on May 3rd of 2016, council held a public hearing on this application. There was a motion made by Mr. Arlett, seconded by Mr. Cole, to defer action for 1 week after the Planning and Zoning Commission has made a decision on this application, being conditional use number 2042, filed on behalf of Beach Fire Brewing Company, LLC, referencing parking requirements. On May 26th of 2016, the Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed the parking layout with a preliminary site plan as requested by council. It was reported to the commission that the purpose of this review was directed by council after the public hearing on May 3rd of 2016. As part of the public hearing before council, there was discussion regarding the parking layout. Council referred the plan to the Planning and Zoning Commission to consider the parking layout. The preliminary plan shows 6 parking spaces, including 1 handicap parking space. 4 of the parking spaces are located in front of the building. The other 2 parking spaces are located along the side of the building. The parking calculations for the bar is The parking calculation for the bar is 1 parking space for every 50 square feet of patron area and 1 parking space for every 2 employees on the largest shift. The applicant's engineers have reviewed and provided a floor plan indicating that the patron area will be 236 square feet. The parking area calculation requires 5 parking spaces. The number of employees on the largest shift is proposed to be 2 employees, which requires 1 parking space. Total number of required parking spaces is 6, and a plan provides 6 parking spaces. The site plan complies with the other items in the zoning code. The commission was advised that the use cannot be approved without first obtaining conditional use approval of the application, submittal of a preliminary site plan, and approval from all necessary agency approvals before final site plan approval can be granted. Now, the commission took no action on the parking plan and referred the parking plan back to the staff to provide a report to council. Based on the staff review of the parking plan as it relates to the site plan, the staff now does advise council that the site plan does comply with the requirements of the zoning code.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions from council?
I do.
Mr. Lang? Mr. Roulette?
I'm just curious, because I know we delayed this because the parking element was not decided back at the Planning and Zoning Commission level. And in theory, okay, if this this council had approved it back when it was presented to us, without knowing the parking situation, because that was part of their final site plan, and it was determined that they could only have 5 spots, though the requirement would have allowed for 6. What would have happened at that point in time?
The regulation requires that the commission consider the conditional use after the council has approved the use. The commission gets into technicalities of the site plan requirements.
Okay.
You would have got the same outcome. But they couldn't approve any more. They couldn't approve something that doesn't work based on the zoning ordinance.
So in other words, if it was learned after this council had approved the condition, the use of it, and it was determined that the site plan just didn't work because they can only get 5 spots, and they were needing 6.
They would not get approval.
They would not get approved. They would never have gotten
and
approval.
And their only other method would be to apply to the Board of Adjustment for an exception or variance of the parking requirements.
Right.
So it'd be another process. But yeah, the site plan has to comply with the ordinance.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we fully understood that.
But Mr. Arlette, didn't they provide the council with some kind of parking scheme?
They had a parking scheme.
Scheme, right.
They had shown 7 parking spaces. The 7 parking spaces didn't work the way it was laid out.
Right.
And they corrected it. They recalculated their square footage of the tasting area.
But what Mr. Arlette's saying, if we'd approved it, we would have looked something at a parking scheme that wouldn't have met our standards. And what we ended up with, it was a different application. It now got smaller, and the parking all changed. So it's...
The parking changed by 1, basically.
But still changed.
Right. Oh, it did. But as I said, typically, you get a use approval, then you tweak your site plan to meet the code in its specifics, and not just the code, but also DENREC, if it's involved, DLDOT, Fire Marshal, Conservation District, everybody gets a little piece of the action, and sometimes things change totally different sometimes from what you see.
Right.
Because of technicalities on other agencies.
But at the end of the day, whether we approve it or not, if we approve it, it still has to meet all code.
Right.
So we could approve it, and the P&Z could have said, time out, you haven't got enough parking spaces, you're done.
And we have in the past.
Sure.
Required specifics, and they haven't been required to go to the board on occasion. That's only happened a few times, but they have had to go to the board.
Well, what if we approve something and it goes back to and they can't meet the regulation? Just can't meet it, but we've already approved it.
You approved the intent of the use. You didn't approve the site plan. Site plan subject
okay,
to the
but we've approved the use.
Mm-hmm. And so then they would have to alter.
But you couldn't make the parking work. What happens then? I mean, if there was a...
It happened on this case. The site plan that you saw showed for 300 some odd square feet, which required an additional parking space, which they couldn't provide based on our review. And what they reduced it, it recalculated, they showed that they only had 236 or whatever, 200 some odd square feet, which only required, with the 2 employees, they only required 6 parking spaces. So now they're in compliance.
And that's why on nearly all of these, we have the final provision that says the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That's placed on nearly all.
But Everett, if it
goes back to the Planning and Zoning and we've approved it, but then they can't meet the regulation.
They can't use it.
They can't use it.
But we've approved the use. What happens to the use? Does it go away? The use has been approved.
It's only been approved subject to the final review and approval of P&Z. So it's got to meet all the conditions. Mm-hmm. That's one of the conditions.
And if it doesn't meet the conditions, what happens?
They can't do it.
Does it get voided?
Yes.
What happens to the conditional use that was approved? Does it get voided? Or does it just kind of sit there in limbo?
Basically it goes in limbo, and they can't operate that business without the approval.
Right. They don't get any approvals.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't want to make approvals of zoning applications unless we're certain as a board that it can get approved. If there's a question that the application can't get approved, we shouldn't approve it because it goes in this limbo thing, and we don't have any procedure to deal with it. So we want to make sure we're right, that the applicants and, well, the RPCs are the same way sometimes. What we see is what we're supposed to get. What we saw didn't work, so we sent it back. Bring us something that works. That's all I say.
I think there's a number of times, Mr. Cole, that we will approve something that they change after our approval what we saw, and planning and zoning approves it in the site plan. A number of times.
Based on the site plan review.
Exactly right. Right.
But I understand that. But those changes they make, the application still is a viable application. If they couldn't make the changes to make it a viable application, and then I said, well, what happens is the application get voided? No, it goes into some, it just sits there somewhere for who knows how long until who knows what. What I'm saying is we should not approve something unless we are assured that they meet and are comply with our ordinance. Otherwise, we don't know what happens to it.
Well, perhaps.
No, there's no perhaps. That's it.
Well, let me finish. You spoke. It's my turn. So, you know, your point is taken as it relates to we decide based on what's been presented. In this particular case, it was a conditional use. All of our decisions are not final because in the end, the use is final, but in the end, it's the planning and zoning who approves the site plan. So in the end, we say yes to the use. It's their responsibility, their department, to come up and approve the final site plan. However, if they cannot come up with a final site plan that makes, based on the use that we voted on and agreed to, then perhaps there should be a mechanism to allow it to be null and void. Maybe we need to put a timeline on it. Maybe that's what you're saying. I'm just saying that perhaps that is the end result, as we do put a timeline on it. If they can't receive a final site plan from you by a certain time, it's dead in water. They got to start all over again. Maybe that's what you're asking. But I think we don't get involved in those details. That's their responsibility.
This particular application, they showed evidence that wouldn't work. You don't approve applications when they show you, give you evidence, and the evidence you're supposed to make your decision on doesn't comply. You should not do that. I don't know about what Mr. Moore says, but my mind tells me that I'd be concerned about approving things that were shown to us as part of their testimony that we're knowledgeable it doesn't work.
I think that one was a very unique one because when they presented that, Mr. Lank saw it and brought it to our attention concerning the parking. That's normally not the case.
Well, that's their job, though. They should point out that if this what they've given us, here's the evidence for parking. They didn't give parking to Planning and Zoning Commission. They didn't have any privilege to see in any kind of parking scheme. So when they brought one here, it was wrong. Yes, the staff needs to tell us, folks, this doesn't work. We need to know that. So we shouldn't be approving applications that we are knowledgeable that don't work. So that's all my point is. So that was why I said to her. Now, if Lawrence says, "Oh, there's plenty of room, we can work this out at Planning and Zoning," that's fine. We had no idea if that could be done. So again, don't approve applications that were knowledgeable that don't work.
What would stop them from getting a conditional use? A Board of Adjustment decision to waive the parking?
They would apply to the Board of Adjustment if it went to Planning and Zoning. Planning and Zoning said there's not adequate parking. They would go to a Board of Adjustment, ask for that to be adjusted, and there would be a public hearing on that.
Mm-hmm. So, but again, wait a minute. We shouldn't be approving things that have to go to a variance. We've given our blessing to this use based on that it fits. It's a good fit. It's a conditional use. It should fit anyway. To have to go to a variance after the fact isn't sufficient to me, because my approving of that application wasn't contingent on getting a variance. Also, when we give it the blessing of that use, we think the county council thinks that use is appropriate.
And that
implies that we support this request for variance because we've supported the use. But
one other quick thought.
Get it right first is all you ought to do.
Sure. But I will tell you and maybe that's, you know, something to consider down the road, because if the applicant, if we all recall, was the majority of their business was going to be manufacturing of the beer at that facility. They would also be reselling it to other businesses. And they also would have business, because if I'm not mistaken, I think it's along the bike trail. Correct.
No.
So you would have bikers, and then you would have beer being, you know, basically shipped out to other locales. So my point is that there were always an intent to have a limited amount of car spaces, as per their testimony. So do we require, and grant this is not relevant to this application, but is there a requirement to have a final site plan be a part of the presentation here? Because that's what you've just proposed.
That would take a major code change, I would think.
No, I
but that's what you're saying.
And the testimony is that the parking formula they've provided us for us to make a decision on their application is not compatible with our standards, then we should be very hesitant on approving an application that doesn't fit our code.
If we know.
Okay, I think we've had quite enough discussion.
Yeah, that's what I say. It makes
this does now meet our code, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Thank you very much. We'll entertain a motion to approve conditional use 2042.
So moved.
Short title. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for a microbrewery to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 5,000 square feet, more or less, for reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 6 in your package, with conditions 7A through E.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second. Okay. I will give the gavel to Mr. Wilson for the purpose of me seconding the motion. I will second the motion.
I accept it.
There you go. We're good. We're back in business. We have a motion and a second. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
No, I can't. With the subject that was just discussed, and in my mind is still up in the air as to the meaning of our approval and the whether it's subject to planning and zoning approval or not. I can vote for this one. No, it needs to be straightened out, cleared up.
That's a no vote, Mr. Deaver.
It's a no vote.
Okay, Mr. Cole.
Anybody familiar with West Rehoboth and the entrance into Rehoboth along Rehoboth Avenue extended would be familiar that this area was zoned commercial, C1 commercial, back in 71. Most of the people who lived, it was all a residential area, largely a residential area, as the rest of West Rehoboth was. And when you look at this area and you would ride into it, you would never consider this to be a C1 district. But unfortunately, it's been C1 since 1971, so there's certain things that are permitted. And it would be crazy to think that there's bars and restaurants like that would be located on this street in this area. The bike path is not going by this. It's in the proximity. The idea that bikers and all this other stuff going up there is a stretch. But because it's a C1 district and this is a conditional use and they've met the thing, I'm going to have to vote yes. But I'm just saying that area being zoned commercial years ago was the biggest mistake I think that a previous council had done, and we've got to live with those decisions. So anyway, I'll have to vote yes for the application.
Mr. Arlett.
Well, this is absolutely appropriate. I mean, the applicant has made all of the requirements. This is a C1. Planning and zoning has agreed to a final site plan to include the park. Now, who on earth am I to sit here and say they can't do their business? I mean, for crying out loud, they met all the proper requirements, and so absolutely this is a yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, I listened to the testimony of the ones been here against it. And I think they had a good reason why. And of course, I have to agree with Mr. Cole. It's just we have to vote yes because it is a CR zone. I vote yes.
I also agree with the findings of planning and zoning and the reasons they gave conditions. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Well, now then, not